Hey, this is Chris from the Weedsman Podcast, Unregimented, and I'm the founder of Christopher Media, and I have a call to action for all of you Christopher Media listeners. Rob St. Mary, you may know him from the Projection Booth Podcast. Well, he's written himself a book called Re-Entry, The Orbit Anthology. This book chronicles 35 years of Detroit's rise to cultural prominence through the pages of Orbit, White Noise, and Fun magazines. You can help by going to patronicity.com or orbitbookdetroit.com and donating whatever you can to help make this book possible. Your tax-deductible support will help create a lasting document to over 35 years of vital Detroit cultural history as told through Orbit, Fun, and White Noise magazines. This deluxe illustrated edition will not only feature reprints of popular articles, but also tell the behind-the-scenes stories of how these landmark magazines covered Detroit's music, film, art, food, and creative scene like no one else dared and with a healthy dose of humor. Please give whatever you can to make this landmark publication possible and make sure to check out the Projection Booth Podcast and all of the other great shows at ChristopherMedia.net. I thank you for listening and I thank all of you for the support.
Christopher Media, the Toddzilla X-Pod.
I don't like shooing people away, but it's good practice sometimes. Some people like me, some people can't fucking stand me. I'm polarizing, I get that. But I think it's fair that I should come with a warning label. And I should get that out there before you stumble into something thinking it's going to be something it's not.
The Toddzilla X-Pod on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Is that Katu up in the upper left-hand corner there?
What's happening?
Nothing. Don't you remember the two kind of lesbian Russian pop stars?
Oh, Tattoo?
Tattoo? Whatever. It wasn't Katu?
No, it was Tattoo.
Tattoo. Oh, sorry.
When Tegan and Sarah come out, I was like, oh, Tattoo for hipsters. Meanwhile, the three people listening, well, maybe one got that joke. Like, huh?
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. From Asmacore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
All right, so do we come up with another subject, or are we just going to wing it?
No, I haven't yet.
This is why I don't come up with show ideas. Like, I thought you'd be totally in on that one, the Redskin one. I mean, we made a decent-sized piece out of it. But, dude, 5 minutes in, you're like, so the owner's a racist fuck. Okay, drum him out the league. Next. And I'm like, oh, God. I thought you'd have more to say about it, but and I was like trying to pull shit out of you. I'm like, name me a team that has no history and has never won. Detroit Lions. No, they have history. They just haven't won anything.
Hey, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing Unregimented on Facebook, following us on Twitter at Unregimented Pod. You could subscribe to Unregimented on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you're covered as well. You can find this show on Stitcher Radio. We also have the player right on the site there. You can now listen to a new episode of a Christopher Media show every day of the week. On Sundays, you got Eminem Question Everything. Mondays, of course, Unregimented. Tuesday, you get the Weedsman Podcast bonus nugget, and whenever Todd gets around to it, you get the Toddzilla X-Pod. Wednesday, we got a new show. It's the Oddcast with Jenna and John. Thursday, your second dose of Unregimented for the week. Friday, you got the Weedsman Podcast. Saturday, another new show, The Captain's Table, for all you guys into nerd culture, we'll say. Your LARPing, your RPGs, video games, any kind of gaming, really. No one's going to cover it on The Captain's Table. So please check those out. They're all at ChristopherMedia.net. You can subscribe for free to all of them on iTunes, Stitcher as well. Hey, if you like what we do and you would like to show your support for us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner on ChristopherMedia.net and bookmark the page. It won't cost you anything extra, and when you buy something, it will help to show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings.com, daily fantasy sports leagues. No season-long commitment. You can enter free or paid contests and win your share of over $200 million in prizes. When you click through the DraftKings banner at ChristopherMedia.net, you will get a free first-time deposit bonus when you sign up for DraftKings.com.
Oh.
From the nation's capital.
This might actually be something we talk about. When's the last time you went to a show where you used your e-cigarette?
A show?
Yeah, like any size venue.
A concert?
Even a bar to go see someone.
I haven't.
Okay, so you haven't tried to, you know, smoke your e-cigarette indoors at a venue where
no.
Music's being played.
I don't get out much anymore.
Okay. Well, no, apparently I didn't realize this.
Doing things.
Yeah.
There are, one of my coworkers went and saw Jack White when he was in town, and he was like, people were vaping all over the place.
Yeah.
When I said, my friend and her husband went to go see Better Nezra,
mm-hmm.
security was like, come here, can't do that. And
no,
I'm like,
no vaping indoors. Yeah. Whatever.
But my thing was, I think it was the same venue, the state.
You don't know what's in that water vapor, man.
Yeah, no,
poisoning everybody around us.
How dare you try to enjoy yourself?
Yeah,
I need to. I don't want to gaze upon you enjoying yourself.
So you're saying it was like the artist's choice?
That's what I'm starting to wonder.
Yeah,
and I mean,
I think they used to do that with smoking.
I know they do it with alcohol sales. Like if someone's staunchly against it,
or depending on the
depending on if they can draw.
It's an all-ages show. Yeah. Depends on what their audience is. If it, you know, if you're Green Day, well, not anymore. you used to have a younger audience, and you wouldn't want to, you know. Well, you'd forego the alcohol sales for...
Out here, Pine Knob is an amphitheater, and so there's, you know, a covered area, the pavilion. Obviously, you can't smoke there, but you could always smoke on the hill.
Yeah.
I went to go see B.B. King. I got told to put my cigarette out, and I was on the hill.
Yeah.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, you can't even smoke outside anymore.
I'm like, who the fuck am I bothering on top? And I'm on the top of the hill. Now, meanwhile, people are passing around joints left and right. But guy comes over, what is that, a cool? Put that out. I'm like, are you fucking serious right now? I just think it's funny that I can smoke weed all I want, but nope, them cigarettes, because they stink. You can't smoke those. All right. So I'll bring cloves to the next one. Have we found anything, Aaron?
I'm looking.
Are we going to have to get you another box of wine to get me home tonight?
Box of wine?
Box of coffee?
That'll be all right.
Mormon Church reveals the truth behind magic underwear.
What?
In a new video.
Is there any hot Mormon chicks?
Stunt cock.
You Mormons are some brave motherfuckers. I'm not a Mormon. I'm the producer.
The Mormon Church is addressing the mystery that has long surrounded undergarments worn by its faithful with a new video explaining the practice in depth. How long is this video? It's kind of personal, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm just imagining. I've sat through.
This video is private.
Oh.
Look at, see if you
he has to pay to rent.
Search for a magic underwear video.
I've sat through Mormon.
Not. Is this your first day on the internet? This may not lead to the
video. Yeah, exactly.
To the video you're thinking it will. Magic underwear.
Mormons. Maybe use that as
how
a
about
keyword.
Mormon temple garments.
What? Magic Mormon underwear. I'm shit you not. It's come up.
That's where the underwear gnomes come in.
Oh, here. I got it now. Sacred temple clothing is the name of the video.
You sure that's Mormons? That sounds more like something I find in Dearborn.
One of the many unusual practices of the Church of Jesus Christ.
No, I want to hear it from their mouths. Look, just search sacred temple clothing.
Did you just say big cock coming out of my mouth?
Or I can send you this link.
WCCC, that's Cheap Trick.
Sacred Temple Clothing by Mormon Newsroom.
Yep.
Ah, Mormons found the Middle Eastern scales.
From ancient times, men and women have embraced sacred music, different forms of prayer.
Okay.
I feel like I'm being recruited, by the way.
Full of symbolism, gestures, and rituals to express their innermost feelings of devotion to God.
Weird ticks.
The variety of these forms of expression is as wide and diverse as the human family. Yet all have the same ultimate purpose: to connect the believer with the object of their devotion in the most personal way, to draw close to God.
Yeah.
To those outside a particular faith,
taking communion,
the rituals and clothing may seem unfamiliar.
Wailing at the wall.
But for the participants,
they're showing
they
Buddhist monks,
the deepest feelings
there was,
of the soul,
nuns.
Motivate them to do good.
There was a
even shape.
Gentleman of the Muslim faith praying to Mecca.
Yeah.
The nun's habit. The priest's cassock.
They're all funny hats.
The Jewish prayer shawl.
That's the least funny.
the Muslim skullcap.
Wait for it.
Not funny at all.
Wait for it.
The saffron robes of the Buddhist monk.
Those look the most comfortable, honestly.
Those are
all
cool as fuck.
All are part of a rich tapestry of human devotion to God.
Yeah, but how do I get my nutsack closer to God?
Not all such religious vestments.
You want to teabag the Bible?
Display.
I teabag God.
Some are seen.
Oh, not bad.
That's what the magic underwear is for.
Temple robes of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as the robes of the Holy Priesthood, are worn only inside Mormon temples and reserved for the highest sacraments of the faith.
So they don't wear it
white
all the time?
Symbolizes purity. There is no insignia or rank. The highest apostle and the newest
like
member
dress.
Are indistinguishable when
somebody?
Dressed in the same way.
And there's no insignia and rank? How socialist clothing. Of them.
The simple vestments combine religious symbolism with echoes of antiquity reflected in ancient writings from the Book of Exodus.
Does that tie on the shoulders?
That's, do they have a strapless number? Is that what you're wondering?
Latter-day Saints.
Well, you could make it strapless if you just tuck it in. Get a little of that double-sided tape.
However, many faithful Latter-day Saints wear a garment under their clothing.
There we go.
That's
religious significance. Similar in design
looks like,
to ordinary modest underclothing, it comes in two pieces.
There it is.
And is usually referred to as the temple garment.
It's a t-shirt and boxer shorts.
Yeah, I see those sold in the hood all the time.
Some people incorrectly
well,
refer to temple garments
long.
As magic or magic underwear. These words are not only inaccurate, but also offensive.
Oh, well, then let me
the
say
Church
it more.
Of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Excuse me, sir. Is this
there
underwear magic?
Magical or mystical about temple garments, and church members
like
ask
wife
for
eater.
The same degree of respect and sensitivity
no,
that would be afforded to any other faith. By people
poor cut on the
will.
Neck, though. Who's making this shit?
It's awfully frilly.
So the Mormons
frilly.
Have their own sanctioned
temple
underwear.
Temple garments are worn by adult members of the church who have made sacred promises of fidelity to God's commandments and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And we'll turn down the lunacy. All right. Magic Mormon underwear. Religious sanctioned underwear.
Okay, stop. I'm calling bullshit.
Are they just drinking Kool-Aid?
They had to find the three black Mormons in the entire world and the three Asian Mormons, and then they were like, hey, you got any cousins? Can we just put them in a video? See? Look, this is...
Look, we are a diverse church.
Yeah. Wow. Go to Salt Lake City. How diverse is that? All right. Come on now. Come on, man. All right. I'm calling bullshit on that.
You know...
That's a recruitment video.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought, and I know they tried to make it sound really sane, but... I don't think it came across.
No. It's just as nutty like, as Xenu, you know, and the whole, you know, Scientology or the burning bush and the talking snake. And it's just all... I've never done enough acid to sit and listen to a religious dogma and be like, that makes sense. Even when I was a kid, I asked questions and I got thrown out, so...
Because of the personal and religious nature of the temple garment, the church asks all media to report on the subject with respect, treating Latter-day Saint temple garments as they would religious vestments of the other faiths. Yeah, okay, I did. Yeah, I said that the Pope's hat is funny and that your
and
magic
you have,
underwear is stupid.
You have magic Mormon underwear.
It's like Dennis Leary said, he goes, I don't understand. I'm Irish Catholic. I don't understand. Priests, you know, they have their little... And then, you know, archbishops, and then the Pope has a huge hat. So I guess God's just got a huge fucking sombrero up in heaven, you know, because apparently the size of your hat dictates how powerful you are in the Catholic Church. I did want to ask this question. What I saw this post on my timeline as I was scrolling through on my break at work, and you just went hard as a motherfucker on somebody's news website calling them out. What was that website and what triggered that?
Oh, it's called the Anti-Media. No, I saw another crazy Ebola lunacy like story, and it came from that website. I just went and I read through the site, and I was like, you people are insane. This is like, yeah. And
wait, the website is called Anti-Media?
Yeah.
That's pretty meta. You can't...
Oh, I mean, this is why we hang out. We're on the same wavelength here.
It's not media.
It's like a church of atheists against churches.
Huh? What?
Christians against Christ. But no, I
church of non-believers of the Gospels of Jesus Christ.
And their Latter-day Saints.
And the horse they rode in on.
Yeah, exactly. But no, yeah, man, I just saw it and I was like, damn, oh, Chris cool. is going to fuck off. Oh, is there more? More people have chimed in?
Oh, well, first of all, the dumb motherfucker deleted his initial reply to it.
I saw that. I saw there was your initial post, his reply, your reply, basically calling him an idiot, and you said, go ahead and delete this. No, so he deleted his, but not yours.
Yeah.
Now, what about your response to his post?
It's called the Anti-Media, and they have a parent site, which is like the antimedia.org. We're actually giving them press, but whatever. Congratulations, 12 people heard your name.
Hey. All right. Don't troll softly if you're going to do it for them, guys.
Well, I said, this site is full of irresponsible, purposely incendiary stories, which you call, and I have quotes, journalism. You are fearmongers who are no better than the rest of the media you are taking a, quote-unquote, stand against. Enjoy wallowing in your ignorance. Keep putting on that keep putting out that clickbait. I'm sure that's what your sponsors pay for. I'm also sure this comment will be deleted since it speaks an opposing viewpoint rather than your own. And he deleted what he responded to that,
which was basically name calling and accusations.
Yeah,
that his parents weren't married when he was born and everything else. So,
well, but he said, well, his whole point was, well, this is activism. Was the point of what he responded with?
And the website is activism.
Yeah.
Of what nature?
Well, I said, if you think I'm dumb enough to believe... Well, he talked about we don't have sponsors or anything like that. And I said, if you think I'm dumb enough to believe that the parent site is a labor of love operating daily out of the goodness of somebody's heart, you are clearly the delusional one. Your descent to name-calling after one post is all I needed to see to tell me about the intelligence level of the people on this page. By the way, hitting like and sharing an article does not make you an activist.
Was there any response after that?
Yes. And then this, you missed the point of activism like this. It's about spreading awareness, not fear. Knowledge is power, and nobody sponsors these pages, you fucking fool. Which he's missing your parent page does. There's your own ignorance blinds you to the point where you have to post your own dislike about it. If you don't understand it or don't believe, then stay the fuck off the page, moron. You're a sheep. Go back to the pastures until you grow a big enough brain to see clearly.
I don't know. This is the first time I've ever seen it, but it's a it's kind of set up like a blog. Actually, I don't see any advertisements on it though, or any links to anything outside of this other than like referencing their sources.
Someone's paying for it. It's coming out of somebody's pocket. The internet isn't free.
Yeah,
spots on the internet are not free. It's being funded from something.
This isn't what we do. Isn't free.
Yeah, you hear that? So donate.
Yeah.
It's funny because someone brought up, so how much you get paid to do that show? I said, first of all, nothing. Second of all, if we do make money, the two who put their sweat and money and everything into it and work into it should recoup their expenses before anyone starts fucking worrying about, so when am I going to get in my contract? And they didn't like that. They were like, I was like, well, I don't know. Deal with it. Well, it should either be free or it shouldn't. Well, you know, that's not the way I look at it. I'm sorry. I know you guys put time and money into this. This is your baby. You brought it in the world. So I wasn't here for the labor. I just got to see the kid. However, this does bring me back to something I wanted to bring up to you guys, because I know, Chris, you've called out Vice a few times.
Mm-hmm.
What, if any, or in you guys' opinion, is a credible news source?
Anymore? Nothing.
Really?
Quite honestly, like...
It's gotten that cynical?
For me, yeah.
Okay.
It's what are the viewpoints of the people that are buying all your airtime?
Okay.
Most of my... If I'm just looking for major world events, it's going to be BBC or Reuters.
Okay.
Those are like the two main sites that I go to for news.
But that's just giving you...
Like, if you're talking about actual events, I'll go with the AP.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
The AP, yeah. The fact that you can go right to these websites... Pretty brilliant. I mean, that's because that's where people are from, between Reuters and AP. That's where everybody's getting their news from anyway.
Yeah.
Unless they're actually sending their own reporter somewhere.
yep,
to report on something, that's where they're getting their story from.
Well, no, it's just because I understand there's a spin on everything, and I don't know. I do tend to think that the fake news, like John Stewart and
that's fake news.
Well, no, but that's how it's portrayed. John Oliver flat out says we're not a credible news source because he doesn't want to be he doesn't want to be called a journalist because he wants the freedom to
it's opinion
to take shots, but it's still he is a journalist. They actually have reported on things that are important. And remember, was it Orbit
it's
that
no,
used to do
it's
every
no
game of the
different
year?
Than what Bill O'Reilly is doing. Bill O'Reilly just doesn't have the balls to admit. That he's just...
We just talked about him yesterday. Yeah.
He is not a... he's not a journalist. Mm-hmm. He is going out there and simply giving his opinion on world events or issues.
He's a talking head who gives he's a pundit. He gives an opinion. He's not he's not a newscaster. He's not Cronkite.
Right.
You know, he's the guy who just goes, here's a story. Here's how I feel about it. Here's how you should feel about it.
So Bill O'Reilly and John Stewart are doing the same job. John Stewart just has a better understanding of the job and does it way better.
Yeah, because
that's my opinion.
John Stewart will dress down both sides.
John Stewart has no pretense. Well, okay. Bill O'Reilly does.
Okay.
Although I was just talking with somebody the other day, I think John Stewart's starting to buy into a little of his own hype, which gets a little annoying to me sometimes. That's just me.
So there's no journalist that you think is that you can name off the top of your head? Not
one specific journalist.
Yeah, like any journalist that you think is delivering news without
not
spin.
Anymore? No, that ship has sailed, my friend. Those days are over.
Now, do you think that's because of like gonzo journalism, where reporters were so involved in the story they couldn't help but have personal opinions that have to come out? You know,
I'm not saying that I couldn't come up with anything because I can't come up with any names. Like I know there's journalists out there who are doing amazing reporting still. I just unfortunately not that familiar with their work.
I got you, but I mean,
you know,
usually
it's becoming it's fewer and farther between.
Usually, if a journalist is like that, he's hired by a company that wants a journalist like that. So it's an extension of whoever he is cutting him his check at the end of the week. Do you see what I'm saying? Unless he's freelance.
Depends.
Unless he's freelance. I mean, like, I know Matt Taibbi is a freelance journalist, but there is no doubt about his opinion when he writes a story. I mean, he is scathing to the right and to the religious right, especially.
If we were to make, like, to go back to music briefly, just to make an analogy, this is the difference between hiring somebody to be, you know, the next Katy Perry and paying Radiohead to make an album. You're not going to tell Radiohead what to do or how to make an album. You're just going to know that they have a fan base and that people are going to listen to it, as opposed to, we're looking for this story. Go out and get it for us. Bring us back a story about this. They're not telling. They're simply the people, like he writes for Rolling Stone, Matt Taibbi. I know he writes a lot for Rolling Stone. I'm sure he writes for others.
Yeah, he does.
But, Rolling Stone doesn't say, hey, we're looking for a story about this. Can you go out and get that for us? They just say, hey, what are you working on? And can we pay you for your story?
They might. That might be how they used to have rolled. I mean, now they're big, giant.
I'm saying that happens.
Ah.
I'm saying Matt Taibbi is the different type of journalist who has built a following, who has he's understood to be a trusted source that's going to come up with usually an original take on issues or even bring to light issues that people didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of like, do you remember, was it Stephen Glass, who wrote for the National Review, who ended up getting caught forging...
Was that his name?
Stephen or Philip Glass? I want to say it's
Philip,
one of
Glass. Philip Glass is a composer.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Stephen
I think it
Glass.
Was... Yeah, who played him in the movie? It was...
Mannequin Skywalker.
What?
Mannequin Skywalker.
Mannequin Skywalker.
Hayden Christensen. He played him in a movie.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't him. I was thinking of the other guy that was in it.
His editor?
Yeah.
Peter Skarsgård.
Yeah, Peter Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
And then Chloe Svenje or whatever. There's a bunch of weird names
that's
in
right.
that movie.
Hayden Christensen was such a douche in that movie. But, I mean, that's what it called for.
Well, see, I watched that movie and then I went back and read up on it because I just don't read the National Review. But...
Oh, I mean, I heard so much about that story before that movie. That was big press.
I'd heard about it, but that was the lost years. That was, you know,
you were a little too tuned out at the moment.
Oh yeah, buddy. And it's just after hearing that, I'm like, how much can you trust a journalist? I mean, without him giving his opinion.
See, I'm not a journalist. I can't speak to this, but I've heard educated journalists talk about where opinion comes into journalism. And it's not about, for most modern journalists especially, it doesn't seem to be about an absence of opinion. You can't completely take the human element out of your reporting, just report like a robot, just listing facts, because you don't come up with anything coherent out of that. And it's the problem with so much of the journalism that's out there on television, especially where everything has to be, in order to portray a story accurately, you have to have both sides and you have to have them on TV arguing about it, to the point where, you know, you have people arguing against ridiculous things like evolution still on television, even though it's just fact. It's not about taking the opinion out of these pieces.
I guess opinion wasn't what I meant to say. I guess I'm thinking along season 5 of The Wire when it shifted to the newspaper.
Yeah,
David Simon.
I love that season. I wish that I wish the whole thing that would have been about the newspaper industry. I would have watched the whole show if it was about that.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I know a lot of people are like, ugh, that season 2's the only...
I loved it.
That's the only season worse than that's 2. And I'm like, I kind of like 2 because you needed 2 to set up the rest of the seasons. But what?
And also, I was just talking about one of my favorite Michael Keaton movies, The Paper, the other day. Because I was listening. I'm going to have a Michael Keaton movie marathon this weekend.
I know I'm going to get shouted at for this, but he is my favorite Batman. So, I don't know. There it is.
have you heard about the movie that he's in, Birdman?
Yeah.
I want to see that so bad.
Yeah.
Anyways, not to take you off track.
Well, anyways, I can't remember the editor's name, and then the writer who was embellishing stories, and then he eventually got to the point where he just made shit up.
Right.
And he goes, why is it some guys are always the guy that's there in Jerusalem when the coffee shop explodes and the 10-year-old's head just happens to roll to their feet, and they always get the perfect quote. I don't trust that. I don't trust those guys.
Right.
And that's when he said that, I was like, ding, there you go. That's where I mistrust media and quote unquote journalism, because it just seems like we have too many perfect quotes, and I just can't believe people are out there and they're just getting these perfect quotes all the time. And these guys are, you know, just to me, they're okay. Let me ask you, how do you feel about this? And they stick the mic, you know, or the tape recorder or whatever. Well, it's not tape recorder now, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Get the quote and then they fluff it up a little bit. You know, they pretty it up. You know, they put some makeup on it.
You're talking about years of training and sometimes months or even years of research and a lot of editing. Not just that, I mean, because that one person has to work with a fact checker and an editor.
But it's not about the Stephen Glass thing with the National Review. He can hand in his notes, and the fact checker called, and they were like, for the most part, yeah. But then he got brave because it was that slippery slope. He got away with it one time,
so he embellished
it again and again and again and again.
It's not chance. They just aren't lucky enough to go out and get these amazing quotes or these perfect examples to illustrate their story.
I understand what you're saying. If it's a story that it spans months and weeks, I understand that. But if the guy goes out and does a 3-day fucking research on a story and he comes back and everything's perfect, from how the fuck did you get all that in 3 days? I mean, let's be honest. You get into a car accident and you put in an insurance claim, they're going to take more than 3 days to fucking investigate it before they give you the money for your car if you got full coverage. So that's why I'm just, because you guys are very, well, Chris, you're very cynical about the media. Really cynical. And I don't know if I'm to that point yet, but I feel like I'm kind of leaning more to that point. But to me, shouldn't you be able to read an article, especially read? I agree with you on that. Reading it, it's easier to...
You can see someone else's bias when you read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can be finessed when you're watching it or listening to it.
Exactly.
You know, you can be fooled. People can slip things by you.
Go back and listen to the one we've talked about, the Washington Redskins, and I started quoting what Mike Ditka said, and I didn't realize this until I listened back to it. I did this, and then you have Mike Ditka, and he said this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and I was like, wow, man, I colored what I was saying without even meaning to, you know? I put a spin on it, and that was not my intent whatsoever, you know, and so... I don't know. It's just what I'm getting at. I just have a hard time with journalism as a whole, because I always thought journalism was supposed to be you present the facts of the story and then people draw their conclusions from there.
Yeah, it's pretty much the impression I was always given.
No, I don't see
opinion is for opinion pieces.
I don't really see it as that at all.
That's why they're called opinion editorials, op-eds.
Okay, but was Hunter S. Thompson a journalist then? Is gonzo journalism a different thing? Is that are you putting that in a separate category?
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's its own thing.
I really do believe that, yeah. Because
so it's not journalistic, it's purely opinion.
It's inserting yourself into the story to where your opinion becomes part of the story. It's not being able to report on a subject and being detached from it.
But he was also the right type of person that could get himself into situations that other people couldn't.
Well, Fear and Loathing on a Campaign Trail is probably his best piece of journalism.
He saw what he saw during his time with the Hell's Angels because of who he was.
Or the Hell's Angels book, sorry. I think those are probably his best two pieces of journalism. And I think because Hell's Angels was his first, and he, for lack of a better term, embedded himself with those guys, lived the life with them, and he could keep up with them. That was probably what shocked those guys because he didn't look anything like those guys. They were like, I'm this balding dude with glasses, can't keep up with us. And he's like,
yeah, I can.
All you got is 10 lewds for me? Pussies, you know? Yeah.
That's breakfast!
But by the time Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail come out, I think that was a subject because politics was so near and dear to his heart that he put aside some of his prejudices to be able to get in the door. And once he got in there, started getting stories. I mean, there's a story that him and Nixon met and rode in I don't know if this is true because it's Hunter S. Thompson. You never know, but it's been people have co-signed on this story. Him and Nixon met, rode in the back of a limo, and he said, "You can't ask me any political questions." And all they talked about was football. And as far-fetched as that sounds, I think that's a very Hunter S. Thompson thing to do, to get so close to someone who he considered vile and evil in the political world.
But
he called the man a vampire.
He was still, and from that conversation, was still able to derive that the guy was pure evil.
Yes.
Just for talking about football.
Yes. He did.
That's right.
It's not like they agreed.
Oh, shit. Oh, and that brings us to the, real quick, the one last thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if you guys got anything else. Chris and I were talking about this on the way over here. I know you're not a big sports guy, but former CEO of Domino's, Dave Brandon, basically almost ran that company into the ground, to the point when he left, Domino's started their new campaign like, we know our old pizza sucked.
Yeah.
Please buy our new ones.
Yeah.
Well, when he left, he went to go be the athletic director for University of Michigan. He's now ran, especially the football program of the University of Michigan, into the fucking ground.
Really?
I mean, it's disgraceful. I mean, if you're a U of M fan, you can't talk shit. You can't even talk shit about Rutgers. And they just joined the Big Ten.
Or start and end this session by talking about Wolverines.
Whatever, we're in Michigan. Deal with it. But the thing is, it's not necessarily where he got his job. What I'm saying is he went from Domino's almost ruining that company, a company that Monahan, you know, because Little Caesars, you got Illich, he brought that up. He's still involved, or the Illich family still involved with it.
Yeah.
Monahan started Domino's, got it to a certain point, sold it.
Took his money and run.
Yeah. And here comes Dave Brandon, runs the company into the ground. His next job is for more money than he was getting at Domino's, at one of the most prestigious athletic departments in college sports. And I was telling Chris, this is how I feel about, once you reach a certain level in life, you don't fail down. Unless you really, like, you get caught with your dick in a kid, you fail up.
No, but he proved that he could run a corporation.
Poorly.
I.e. blame somebody else. Always have a reason why it was somebody else's fault for what the fuck's going on.
Being me.
Fair enough.
It's other people.
The Shaggy defense. Not me. But no, I really, if you think about it, you do. I at least feel that way. I feel once you reach a certain point in life, you fail up. And why is that? Why you take someone who is solidly middle of the company, and if they fuck up, they will be back to, as Chris put it, putting a hat and a little uniform shirt on and saying, here's my name tag. But once you put that suit on, once you put that suit on and you get over like, let's say you get access to the 8th, 9th, and beyond floors, and you get your little executive card.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a club you're in. You can't be put out of it unless you, A, really, like I said, fuck up, caught with your dick in a kid or something like that, to where they have to distance themselves from you. Or you, B, even if you actually know, even if you cost, like, yeah, investors money, they keep...
My last job, the coke addicts went to corporate.
Oh, really?
And the,
yeah. The potheads and the rest of them?
Yeah.
Where?
Back with the name tag.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, someone else wanted to chime in. All right.
Mm-hmm. No, but I mean, join
the conversation, Mr. Helper.
But we'll even do it in this country with, like, for example, industries, like the auto industry. Like I was telling you, I think, you know, when we're at, like, this is not the opinion to be having around here, but so be it. I live around here and I have this opinion. They should have been allowed to fail. If Aaron and I run our business into the ground, there's not going to be no podcast network bailout. All right. Like, it's going to be like a way to run your business like a couple of idiots. You get to close now. Government's not showing up with the check. But we did that with they were deemed too big to fail, the auto industry. So you had Government Motors here for a minute. What's going on?
I know. Are we receiving transmissions from, like...
Tune in Tokyo.
What is happening?
You know, it's going to be amazing that... fact that maybe none of this is coming through the recording at all, and we're just talking about nothing.
I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, what if you can't hear this? Was this the acid episode? We've heard the drunken one a few times and the high one a few times. Is this the acid episode?
It's the episode where they did ayahuasca.
Mass auditory hallucination.
We smoked salvia before we got on here. Oh, shit. No, I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, okay. The auto industry should have been allowed to fail, but the auto industry should have been beholden to the people who fucking worked every day, and they promised them fucking pensions too, and they sold their fucking soul to the company, and they spent 30 years working there, versus some fucking 45-year-old executive that got there 10 years ago, ran into the company, and gets a golden parachute on the way out the window. Fuck you, dude. You need to fucking go get yourself another job. How about this? How about you go back and get another MBA, because you don't know how to run a fucking business if you did this to this company.
I think the music industry is too big to fail. We need to do Work Projects Association. I want some government-funded music.
A pension is not a guarantee from the person on the 10th floor to the people. It's not. It's a pension is hoping that the business is going to be around when you retire.
I understand that. However, even though there wasn't money until the bailout for these executives who were literally bailing out on the company, they still got theirs. Now, why should they get theirs? And they're the ones that ran the company into the ground. Why should they get theirs? Shouldn't it be like, well, you're last on the list to get paid. You're the one that did this to this company.
Right.
Sorry.
Imagine being a small business that is failing and you file for bankruptcy to protect your assets. And meanwhile, they find out that you drew a $200,000 salary the last 3 years of your business going down the tube.
And then you're going to claim, I can't afford to pay my workers, their checks are
missing. That then speaks to how they are allowed to operate by our government, and then that's a whole different conversation.
Oh, the libertarian comes in with the regulations.
Yeah,
all right.
Because the small business guy that Aaron was talking about has to operate under a completely different set of rules than the big giant, corporation.
Right.
Completely different set of rules. So that's a completely different conversation.
I felt the way you did about the airline industry after 9/11.
Yeah, same shit. I feel the same way too. If you run your airline like shit, you should have the same chance as everybody else in this country opens up a business to fail.
The difference is that Chrysler and GM had to get better, whereas the airlines have gotten worse. And no one seems to hold the airlines' feet to the fire like we do the auto industry. Because, well, we all need to take a plane at one point in our lives, but... Hey, the auto industry up here in Michigan, people who've never lived here and didn't grow up here and parents weren't born into it or around it don't realize how much that supplied the lifeblood for this area for so many years. Airlines are just, well, we need to fly. So go ahead, make them seats smaller, pack in more shit, take away their fucking this. You can't, you want to take something bigger than a laptop on. You have to pay $50 and how big is your the luggage you're checking? Why do we allow them to do that shit? Where the fuck was all this regulation and shit on the airlines part before 9/11?
Yeah.
9/11, they got their fucking bailout. The CEOs at the top made sure to cash those checks before they fucking bounced and then passed the fucking, the pain of the airlines failing onto the fucking customers. You are a service industry. Your job is to serve your customers and you give the shittiest service possible and you don't even fucking apologize for it. Tell me how the auto industry at least...
What does this have to do with regulation, though? I mean, what you're talking about is the market regulating itself just by the aspect of...
We bailed out the auto industry and we expect them to be held at this standard. You provide us a service. We bailed you out. You better perform at this standard. We bail out the airlines and we're like, go ahead and lower your standards. How come one is upheld as the evil auto industry bailout, yet there's not boo said most of the time about the fucking airlines bailout? I don't understand that. What's the double standard there? What causes it to be okay for it to be a double standard?
I haven't agreed with any of the bailouts, period.
Really?
Not even the bank bailouts. It's all bullshit.
Banks getting bailouts is like robbing Paul to pay Peter, you know?
I said we should all have the equal chance to equal opportunity, motherfucker. We should all have fail equally.
Here in Michigan, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are very thankful for that. And we do have... It actually worked in the instance of the auto industry. I cannot deny that. The result that they wanted... It worked very well. You know, the loans were made at reasonable rates. They were paid back. The government actually made a little bit of money off the auto industry still. And they were, became profitable quite quickly and actually did seem to get their shit together. This was after a decade of just running their companies into the ground and not understanding the market that they were making vehicles for.
It was a lack of foresight on the
and
people at the tops.
Yeah.
Hey, people
want
to buy gas-guzzling SUVs? Fuck it. Let's make them. You know what? At a certain point, you have to go, we're going to make a select number of these, but here's what the average person is going to need. Something that gets good fucking mileage and has a high safety rating. I'm sorry. You want to drive your I Have a Small Penis pickup truck around, sucking down fucking, you know what, gas at $10, or not 10, but 10, right. 10, 10 miles to the gallon.
What they saw was, oh, we can make this vehicle. It'll have a lifespan of 8 years. And because it's, you know, made with cheaper parts, it's put together more quickly or with less skill or whatever the fuck may be that causes a vehicle to have less life to it than what was coming out of Japan at the time and still is. You can make a cheaper vehicle that is going to fail sooner because it doesn't matter. You're looking at customers. You wish that every customer was like this. Unfortunately, they're not for the auto industry, but the customer who buys a vehicle, drives it for 2 years, trades it in, they then resell that to somebody else. They drive it for 2 or 3 or 5 years. The thing falls apart. They fucking junk it. And they go buy another one.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, I'm much more practical about my vehicles. I need it to last as long as possible. I'm not about, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, pay X amount of $100 a month to drive this vehicle so then in 2 years I can give it back to you and you can give me a brand new one and I can keep paying. I don't see that as going forward.
Well, I always hear this that, you know, well, America produced an inferior product. Okay, well, let's talk about this inferior product.
Well, they did.
I drive a 2002 Sable. Okay, yeah. I bought it. Had 19,000 original miles on it. I just had to replace the back brakes. And when I popped the tire off to do it, it still had the clips on the hub that they put onto factory. Mm-hmm. It took almost 90,000 miles for one back brake to fail.
Yeah, but it was...
That's pretty fucking good. And those are hard... From when I bought it to now, I've been delivered in it. Those are hard miles on that.
It was really the 80s and 90s, though, where the American cars are shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's the pinnacle of shitty-ass, American cars. I can agree with that. Everyone loves, I got a 5.0 Mustang. Those things are pieces of shit, but they're fucking held up in high regard for whatever reason.
Or held up with Bondo.
Hey, can we JB weld that engine block? I got to get my 5.0 so I can go to the Woodward Dream Cruise. But it's just, okay, yeah. But you did something that a lot of people don't do anymore.
What's that?
Just by simply, you were like, my brakes went. I'm going to go change my own brakes.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that anymore unless they're forced to. I have friends who can work on cars, and they do. And then I have friends who can't, and they can afford to have them worked on, but they choose mm-hmm. to work on them themselves. And I have friends who can work on cars, have the money, get them fixed. They'd rather just drop them off at the shop and
That's
say,
fine.
I'll see you in 2 days. And to me, you, as you said, you have to maintain the car because you need it and you need it to run as long as it fucking can.
Yes.
To me, that's a logical way to
but
look at it.
I don't think that's something that I'm going to outgrow either. I expect my financial situation to get better eventually. Like, you know, when my kids turn 18. But
So, in other words, ladies, he's put a clamp on those waterworks. You're not going to cash in on him anymore.
So he's real.
So I need another decade out of this Honda.
Sir, at that point, I think you better call a priest around like 6 years from now, like, lay hands on it.
Unless something like drastically changes where I end up being some kind of multimillionaire, yeah, I'm always going to be that way of just, I'm going to get a vehicle that I can rely on for as long as possible.
And I'm going to say the same, like, I mean, it may not seem like it makes any sense, the two comparisons, but I'm the same way about musical instruments. If I owned a Les Paul and I put it on the stand, it fell over and the headstock got sheared off, I'm not going to go, oh, fuck it, I need to go buy a new Les Paul. No, I'm going to take it to a luthier who I know can fix it.
Yeah, most likely.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay the $300 and fix it and put that motherfucker in the case if it ain't slung over my shoulder. Learned, lesson learned.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the problem is that we've gotten to the disposable part of... We just think everything's disposable and we can replace it. And when you do that, then you start, if that's your idea for your product, then that's your idea for workers. Workers are disposable and we can replace them. We don't give a fuck about the guy on the line because there's another guy who will come in and instead of getting $19 an hour to start, we're going to pay him $14 an hour. And then when he's no longer, or he's reached that glass ceiling that he thinks, oh, I'm going to keep going. Nope. Here's your buyout, or else we can just lay you off and you collect unemployment, and we're going to hire people in at fucking $10 an hour. How is that helping the economy? Well, meanwhile, the people at the top who are making these shitty decisions, their fucking salaries are swelling at a rate that's fucking disgusting. And we justify it because that's
what the market will allow.
Yeah, they're the ones making these decisions that are saving the companies millions of dollars, and they're pocketing some of that in the form of bonuses. So yeah, they are directly taking those bonuses out of the pockets of workers, out of the workforce.
I don't know. I just feel, I'm sorry, you put 30 years in at a company, and you have people at the top, and it was running fine for years and years, and you get new people at the top who go, well, fuck it, we can make a little bit more money for us by cutting down on our quality and cutting down on the quality of workers. And then they get an inferior product where no one wants it, and they go, well, guess who's got to pay for that? The people on the line who are making it. Well, they're not the ones that are fucking engineers and designed it. They're not the ones that fucking rubber stamped the idea to do this.
Yeah. Your company's doing well enough, but where's your growth? And when your growth stops happening in the form of expanding your market or actually making better products that more people are going to buy, then your growth starts coming in other ways. Like, how can we cut costs? How can we cut corners? Make an inferior product, move overseas, or just take it directly out of the workforce.
Exactly. All right, ran over. I'm sorry, guys. I know that's just how I feel about that. Because I see it on small business levels, and I see some small business owners I've worked for will literally go and hawk shit. Put shit in pawn to make sure the employees are paid. And then I've seen other ones that are like, whatever. Here's your check. Hope it doesn't bounce. Have a good one. It's like, are you fucking serious?
You're right. Capitalism doesn't work.
On paper, it works. Just like communism. Everything works on paper. I'm just
facts. You can use facts to prove anything.
60% facts. Who needs facts?
60% of the time, it works every
70%
time.
70% of the people know that.
On that note... Wrap this bitch up.
Yeah.
Put a bow on it. Call it a day.
There's only so much more coffee I can drink. I'm starting to get the shakes.
I know. You guys' toilet after drinking this box of coffee, it's going to be in the corner shaking like a battered woman by tomorrow morning.
Keep in mind,
no more.
I'll make
sandwiches.
Keep in mind all the carbs we ate before we drank the box of coffee.
Yeah.
That toilet gets sheltered from a lot of that abuse. It's really the work toilet that gets most of it.
I go to work and take out my hate and discontent on that toilet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Boom. Bam. Kablamo. I'm just standing up.
Oh. I'm sorry. I thought we were doing something.
Having a little seventh inning stretch.
Yeah. I was about to say something, but it'd have to be edited out heavily. All right, so.
Knock yourself out. I do the editing.
I was going to say, last time I had someone stand up in this studio, it was going to be a fucking fight. So. And I was like, are we fucking serious? Is someone fucking with me? Where's the camera at?
My candid camera. That was nice. We should do it. What is it, the big trend now? The standing desk?
Yeah.
The standing office.
Oh, don't you remember Brian did that when he was interning for Tic Tac?
Oh, no, we did it. I did it a lot, too. It's some... the station me and Todd worked at, the board was like right here. You stood.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
You stood and you could do it, or you had to have a high back chair. But yeah, the board was set up for you to stand up and talk like this.
Because you're more animated.
I suppose.
Spoda.
Spodily.
All right, so are we doing a sign-off?
Yeah. Bye. No, I don't know.
It's so apathetic.
Wait, how do we end this show usually?
Thanks for listening. Thanks for liking. Share with your friends on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. We're available on Stitcher Radio, something about iTunes. DraftKings. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. $6 million.
Amazon.
Football.
HostGator.
HostGator. Now we need to start talking about something else because we always do that in the middle of HostGator. So, thank God we're based on commission. And, all right. Thank you. This has been Unregimented. Thank you for listening. And,
didn't we have a set of ads once where we made the abortion the theme of every ad?
God. Yes.
Like we said, you could take the money you won on DraftKings to
get to get abortions for all our groupies.
To buy like Plan B or something like that. No, it was you needed to buy the Plan B off of Amazon. No, yeah, it was pretty morbid.
No, not at us.
Yeah, I'm brain dead.
You sure you're going to be able to get me home, dude?
Oh, yeah.
All right. My life is in your hands, sir. I mean, I've driven with people who are, rode with people who are.
Why'd you say that? He asked me not to say that. He asked me specifically to say that. Her life is
in your hands.
Her life is in your hands, dude.
I didn't even realize what I said until you said that. I was like, oh, okay.
Thanks for listening. We will catch you on the next one, which will be, I don't know.
Be a minute. You guys had you guys had special guest hosts.
It'll be next week.
No, this will be like November. This will be
no. I know, but if anyone who's listening to this, it'll be next week.
No.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Take
two. There'll be no laughs in time. The magic.
But thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
All right. Later, guys.
Peace.
Hey guys, thanks for listening, thanks for clicking, thanks for liking, thanks for sharing, thanks for subscribing for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for telling a friend. I probably already said that, but that's how important it is because that's how podcasts work. We drop every Monday and Thursday. Check out all of the other shows on ChristopherMedia.net. So stay tuned, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.